Turn to Matthew 19. I'm going to ask the Lord to open the eyes of your understanding. There's only so many things you can do when you're dealing with the kingdom of God in words. It takes the Holy Spirit to reveal it, to reveal understanding. But when you get the understanding of what God's talking about, you get into his way. You get in his way, you'll get into his rhythm, and things will start opening for you. The world has a way. God has a way. Amen. So, Father, we come before you today. Precious Holy Spirit, we ask you to open the eyes, the hearts to receive. Grant us understanding of the things that we will venture in today. Grant the eyes of understanding to understand your ways. In your glorious name, amen. Okay, Matthew 19, verse 16. Let me show you the laws of meditation. Everyone should have your Bible in your hand. You need to probably take a few notes too. Okay, look at verse 16. Behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, this is a rich young ruler that was approaching him. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? Probably most likely this man was very good. I mean, he was a rich young ruler. He had everything together. He had already obtained a great amount of wealth. He's probably dealt in the political realm. He knew how to flatter, and he was coming to the Lord, good master, and the Lord kind of shut that down. In the kingdom, flattery does not open the doors. That's not what opens the door. He shut that flattery down. And a minute, he said, why do you call me good? There's none good but the Father. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. So listen, he's still dealing with this man because he's under the law. We're going to learn a lot about him today, and then we're going to learn a lot about what the Lord was really dealing with. He's still in the law. He hasn't introduced the born again trail just yet. He told Nicodemus, you got to be born again, but he's telling you all the fruits of being born again, but he left it a mystery until that poured out in the early church. So he's still dealing with them in the law. He said, you know, the commandments, keep them. So he said, which commandments? So the Lord rattles off the commandments. He says something very interesting. Verse 20 said, and the young man said to him, so I want you to see this man. So you understand. He said, all things I've kept from my youth up, what do I lack? So here's a man that's definitely got it together, definitely very wealthy. He's followed the law. He's followed the commandments. He says, I kept all these from my youth up. He's not a man that's squandering his life in the world. So he's a man up to this point has been following God with what God had them follow. They were following God through the law in the old, but God's shifting all this. He goes, but what do I lack? So I don't know if the Lord would have taken him to this level unless he had asked this question. But he said, I've done all this. I have followed God. I've kept his law. And he says, well, what do I lack? Aren't you glad he asked that question? So he said unto him, here we go. If thou will be perfect, you mean you want the best that I have? Or the best that you have? That's basically what the Lord was asking him. He says, what do I lack? What do I lack? Be careful when you ask the Lord, what do I lack? Because if he says, thou will be perfect, understand what he's asking him to do. God doesn't come to everybody asking him to do this. But he asked him to do it because there was a reason. And he said, if you'd be perfect, go sell all that you have and give to the poor. He said, give the poor and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Now watch what he said. And come, follow me. Now the Lord didn't ask for any people to follow him like this. I mean, everybody was around him, but his followers were his disciples. He was inviting him into fellowship. The disciples could be one of the 12, definitely one of the 70. He was inviting him into that group that followed him everywhere he went. Remember the demonic Gadarene that got delivered wanted to follow him. He said, no, go tell the world what the Lord's done for you. He wouldn't let him. But this man was invited into discipleship to be an apostle, trained by the Lord himself. He was inviting him. That's pretty big. When the Lord invited him to understand the mysteries of God, inviting him to walk with God in the highest level. And he basically extended the invitation. And we'll pick it up there. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. I'll get into the reason why he asked him to give it up that day. Because he was going to apostle him in kingdom finance. He was going to teach him the way the kingdom does things. Because all the wealth that he had accrued up to that point came from his own capacity, his own ability, his own sufficiency. He was the man of great sufficiency. And because it was his own, he couldn't give it. See, when God gives you something or it's built by God, you can give it to him. Because he's already taught that process to you. But when you do it, it's very hard to let go of it. There's a difference between what you do and what God does through you. Amen? He couldn't do it. Then we get into a really, really was difficult verses. I met people that had a lot of money. I heard one guy said, I don't walk with God because I don't want him asking me for what I have. So we're going to get into a revy here, and then we're going to get into another revelation and another one after that. Verse 23. Now the Lord's teaching here. He said, then Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you. So if he says very, verily, that means two verilies. That means listen. I say to you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it's easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, which is Peter, because he addresses Peter in verse 27. Peter said, how can a man be saved? Now, listen, in all fairness to the Lord, he wasn't finished. But he got interrupted by Peter because these guys had a fishing franchise. What about our money? What about us? How can a man be saved? And the Lord kindly answers his interruption and goes back to what he was saying. Aren't you glad he wasn't finished? And Jesus beheld him and said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Now, can I get back to my teaching? But then Peter answered, said, well, hey, behold, we have forsaken all to follow thee. What do we get? Aren't you glad he answered the question? For all you humble people out there that would never ask such a question. Since he asked it, we can just get in on his answer and remain humble at the same time. Amen? So look, how many of you have forsaken all to follow him? We've forsaken all. We're following you. What do we get? Man. So Jesus answers. He says, you that follow me in the regeneration of the Son of Man, you'll sit on 12 thrones. And, say and. Everyone that's forsaken houses, brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, wives, children, lands, for my name's sake, will receive 100-fold. That's this life. And eternal life. After. So the question of whether or not God was going to bless that man, a lot of people adopt a poverty mentality while just forsake all and live in that state. No. When you forsake all, there is a position in God where he's going to restore it all 100 times over. That's not an offering, by the way. I mean, I know there's a lot of doctrine in that area. He'll just give you 100-fold for every offering. You know how rich we'd all be? But he will restore to your life what you have surrendered. And that's what that rich man walked away from. He walked away from being, more than that, he walked away from being apostled by the Lord himself. Probably could have been a modern day billionaire. He probably would have paid for the entire apostolic operation because Jesus would have given him that operation. Instead, it fell upon the church of Macedonia. The grace came over the whole church and they ended up supporting Paul for 15 years of his ministry. By a grace that fell upon a whole church. But that man walked away from being a modern day apostle, which would have probably put all the fruit of the New Testament on his account. So the question, couple of questions here. Is this man saved? Because if I have to give my money to be saved, then that doesn't really equate to the blood of Jesus saving me. So is he talking about salvation? Because if he's saying, all right, this man, think about this for a minute before I give you the revelation. Think about this man. He followed God. He kept the law from his youth up. But he couldn't do that. He couldn't let go of his money. So suddenly it disqualifies him from being saved, because that's what the disciples said. They thought the Lord's talking about salvation here. And so the rich man, he couldn't do it. So is he saved? That's why you need the laws of meditation. So I'm going to have you take your finger or your little pen. I want you to look at something. I want you to first look at verse 23 in Matthew 19. Verse 23. And Jesus said unto disciples, verily, verily, I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say unto you, it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Okay, go to the next chapter. If Peter wouldn't have interrupted him, he would have went immediately to this verse. I want you to look at verse 1 of Matthew 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is a householder. So did he change the subject? He said the kingdom of heaven. So now he's picking back up what he was about to talk about, the kingdom of heaven. If that wasn't enough, go back to Matthew 19 and look at verse 30. And it says, many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. See that? Go to Matthew 20, verse 16. And the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, few are chosen. Has he changed the subject? No. He was interrupted because Peter didn't understand what he's talking about. He thought he's talking about salvation. The Lord was talking about how the kingdom works in the earth. Peter interrupts. He answers and he goes back in. He wasn't talking about the kingdom of heaven up there as far as eternal salvation. Because if it takes me giving all my money away to purchase salvation, oh, I mean, what salvation is that? The blood of Jesus is the only way to be saved. There is no other. Whether I give my money or keep my money, I'm saved. Think about the rigidity of what people do with these verses. But that is not what was being taught here. What he was teaching is he's inviting this man to follow me. Asked him, how can I be? I've done all this. What do I lack? He goes, you want to be perfect and follow me. Listen, what got you that wealth is not what's going to keep that wealth with me. What got you that wealth is not how I do it. There's two different systems here. What got you that wealth is your system. I'm going to teach you another system, a higher system. I'm going to teach you the way of the kingdom and how it works. I'm going to teach you how the kingdom works versus how it got you. And when we're done, you'll have 100 times more than you had now. That means if you were a millionaire, you're going to be 100 millionaire. But you're going to have to follow me. You're going to learn of me, and that is going to get in the way all of our training, because you trust in it, because you built it. I didn't build it, and it won't last. You know how many people get wealthy in the world, and it doesn't last? Have you ever studied the lottery people? You ever seen what happened? There's one guy made $366 million, and he was broke. In 10 years, broke. But that's the system of the world. God's system is different. So he's going to get into his system. But what he was saying, he goes, listen, you put your life first in getting that. He goes, but the first is going to become last in my kingdom. But the last, those who put their life, their own life last and learn of me, they're going to come first in my kingdom. So he's going to get into a parable. He's going to shift to chapter 20, and he's going to teach us something very valuable. So go to chapter 20, and let's see what type of kingdom he was talking about. Because that's what he was talking about, is how the kingdom works. He said, how hardly
Can a rich man enter into the kingdom? It's easier for the camel to go through an eye of the needle.
I remember my spiritual father one time was preaching on this part of the Revelation. He was comparing all the disciples. He goes, come on, let's grease the lambs down. If we can get the camel through the eye of the needle, let's grease them down with some lamb's fat. Squeeze them through. We can get them through. We can all go into the kingdom with our fortunes.
Well, the eye of the needle is a gate in Jerusalem. It was shaped like a camel's humpback.
And it required, when they had the large gate closed, the way the travelers would come in, they wouldn't open that gate. If they had camels, they would have to get the camel on their knees. They'd have to unload all the bags and they'd have to squeeze them through that humpback. And they called it the eye of a needle. And they would squeeze them through and they could enter Jerusalem through that gate. That's what the Lord was referring to, is the eye of the needle. He said, it's easier for that camel to go through that eye than a rich man to go through that eye. Because he won't unload what I need him to unload, because he's determined to do it his way, not my way. And that was proof. That was proof when he said, I can't do it. He went away sorrowful. That's a hard thing to do. If you've never had anything, it's easy to do. You know, some of the people of God are the most generous because they've never had anything. It's easy. But when your whole life is surrounded by the prestige, that what that money and the circles he ran in, and that was his identity. He wasn't just giving up his money. He was giving his identity. Do you know what you're asking me to do? This is who I am. Brought him in the high places of the earth. He probably was on every major board there was to be on. And you're asking me to give up? He says, yes. I'm asking you to trade that identity for mine. I'm asking you to trade that system for my system. Yes, it's costly. It's costly to let go and surrender all. But what he offered him was a hundredfold operation in the kingdom of God and the fruit that would come after that. I believe this man saved. I believe he went on to get born again, because whether he gave his money or not doesn't determine whether he's born again. Can't prove he did, but I believe he went on in, but he lost his position of being trained by the Lord himself. Not everybody gets to be trained by the Lord himself. He was going to train him personally in the laws of kingdom finance, and he was going to show him how to overcome mammon. So chapter 20, y'all ready? He's talking about the kingdom of God here. But just in case you want to know how it works, he's going to give a little parable. This is a really awesome parable if you understand what's in here. Hopefully after today you will. Man, I've been in this all week. It's like glowing this weekend. It's been amazing. So the kingdom of heaven, let's look at verse 1, Matthew 20. So we're halfway through. Everyone saved, money saved. Let's go. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is a householder, which went out. This is the same kingdom of heaven he had in mind in chapter 19. How hardly can a rich man enter into my ways? How this kingdom works. Same one he's talking about there. Easier for the camel to go through the eye of the needle for him to learn this, what I'm about to show you. And this is what I want to teach you. Kingdom of heaven is went out early in the vineyard. He agreed to the labors for a penny a day. So I'm just going to share it with you so it won't bog you down. So basically there was five different hiring positions. One went out in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. One was hired at the third hour, which is 9 o'clock. One that was hired at noon, which is noon, sixth hour. One was hired in the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock. And then there was another one that was hired at 5 o'clock or the 11 o'clock hour. I call it 5 o'clock. You go to work at 5, you get off at 6. How many of you want that job? Lord wants you to have that job. In fact, he's going to reward the person who goes out at 5. The whole parable. And this vineyard is talking about the different levels that we enter in at. All right? So some go at 6. So when it comes time for everybody to be paid, he said, bring them their hire, beginning with the last, pay them first. Pay the guys that went out and did nothing. At 5 o'clock, how much labor could you do by the time you got everything going? You'd be done.
basically the dinner bell's ringing. I want to be 5 o'clock. I mean, to work for an hour. There was a work, but it was only hours worth of work. So he gets paid first, or that group, because there's a group of us now. Because 6 o'clock people came, he comes and he starts complaining. He says, wait a minute. God agreed to the pay. He says, wait a minute here. He's got a point. I bore the burden of the heat of the day, and you got paid the same that I did. The only difference between the two is one freely inherited, the other one worked for it all day. Now, before I get into this, I'll take you back to Genesis chapter 3 for a minute. This is when Adam and Eve fell. Verse 17. Now God's upset because they're trying to clothe themselves, this whole thing, and not working. They're hiding from God. God's starting to pronounce, just for the sake of time, he's pronouncing the judgment that took place because of this fall. I'm going to pick it up in the middle of that for time's sake. Verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because you've hearkened unto the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree which I commanded thee don't eat, say, if you shall eat of it, cursed be the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. And thorns and thistles it'll bring forth. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Listen, when they were in the garden, that garden just produced. They walked with God in a state of rest. They walked with God in a state of fellowship. Everything was kind of given to them. It was all there. The fruit grew. They didn't have to toil or till or anything. It just was there. God was taking care of everything. God doesn't do that. I think he does. He fed the Israelites for 40 years in a desert. Every day, their only job was to go out and gather food. What else are you going to do in the desert? You going to start plowing ground out there in the desert? They walked with God. The rest of time is just fellowship with me. There's your food, fellowship with me. That's it. 40 years. Verse 19. This is what I want to get at. Big revelation here. In the sweat of thy face, or the sweat of thy brow, you will eat bread till thou return to the ground. Out of it you were taken, dust thou art, dust thou shalt return. You will bring forth fruit by toil, labor, burden, and the sweat of the brow. The sweat of your own sufficiency is how you're going to eat. And this curse he pronounced. So God comes along. The only way to get out of that curse under the Old Testament was to get in covenant with God. If they got in covenant with God, God would override that curse by the sacrifices of blood and animal through a covenant with Abraham, and they had the blessing again on their life. That's how Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were so blessed. But God was going to do away with that curse. The thorns and the thistles, the Lord had to take those thorns, and the blood was shed. When the blood was shed, he broke the curse. And he was going to offer a new operation for the people of God. And that new operation was not the waters that come out of your own flesh. It's the waters that come out from the Spirit. I need you to understand something. If you work in a field and it requires labor, like Justin, he's a welder, and there's a lot of sweat of brow going on as a welder. I mean, sometimes they put him up in one of those containers that are about 100 and 200 degrees in there or something. And that's not what he's talking about. Justin would sit up in there welding, and he'd have his little earpiece running the word of God, rejoicing all the day long while his body was sweating all the day long. That's not the sweat of the brow we're talking about. See, that was a system. He's operating the kingdom system, even though his body was in an earthly system welding. So he's not talking about whether you're in the labor and you're sweating. That's what I'm saying. Get some understanding. He's talking about his system. Sweat of the brow means what I produce comes out of my own labor. It doesn't come out of anything else. God introducing a new system of living waters that flow out of you. Waters of a blessing that maketh rich, but doesn't add the sorrow of the world with it. There's two different systems going on. There's a system of works, toil, and there's a system of grace, faith. You don't wake up into the system of grace and faith. You wake up in the system of toil, even when you're born again. when you're first born again, we all basically go out at 6 o'clock in the morning. We all start to learn of God. Some of us want to jump over too fast to get ahead only to fall on our face. Because kingdom of God operates by the kingdom of God. So the guy, let me ask you, let's look at the two ends of the spectrum. God, 6 o'clock in the morning. We borne the burden of the heat of day. What system do you think he's in? Cursed earth-based system. What do you think the guy at 5 o'clock in the afternoon that goes out and works for 1 hour and reaps the whole day free? What system do you think he's in? Kingdom, grace. Take my yoke. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Follow me. He said, if you'll follow me, my yoke will be easy. Your burden is light. He's going to graduate you as you learn of him. And as you graduate, you don't have to go out at 6 in the morning. You can go out at 9. A lot of ways God graduates you. The first graduation is the surrender of who you are. You got to surrender. And if you don't surrender, he'll help you. How many of God ever helped surrender? Raise your hand. He'll help you surrender. I remember a guy. He owned 15 Pizza Huts. He ended up becoming a pastor, and he gets saved. He was under John Osteen at the time, and John Osteen told him, he goes, listen, if you're going to really walk with God, you're probably going to lose all that. That's what John Osteen told him. He goes, when I come out of the meeting, he goes, there's no way I'm going to lose that. And John Osteen said, listen to what I'm saying. If you really want to walk with God, you're going to lose all that. But you're going to get it all back. He's going to exchange the system because John Osteen learned a few things over the years. Amen? And sure enough, he lost the whole thing. And sure enough, God restored. But when God needs to do, he needs to restructure. Now, I'm not telling you you're going to lose everything. Don't misunderstand me, but there is a restructuring of how you do things. God wants to redeem you from man's cursed-based system. Some people don't think it's a curse, but it's a toil. That's why it says the blessing of the Lord can... There is a... You know, some people, riches bury them early. They don't know how to do anything. They live in more fear than they do anything else. Because they don't understand the kingdom comes without fear. When God gives you something, it comes without fear. When God gives you, it opens. So as you graduate down the line, it's less of you, more of him. So let me ask you a question. The guy at 6 o'clock in the morning, is a whole lot of him and a little bit of God. Would you agree with that? What about the guy at 5 o'clock? Whole lot of God, little bit of man. But 1 hour with God, he goes, I can... If you look at this like a generational thing instead of a day, I can show you how to reap generational wealth free. I can show you how to become an inheritor, because the 5 o'clock hour guy was not a laborer. He was an inheritor. He was an heir of that garden, and he got paid first. He came in first, and God actually acknowledged him as first, said, pay them first. And then he goes on to say, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. I'm honoring the guy at 5 o'clock more than the guy at 6 o'clock, because the guy at 6 o'clock has to be redeemed. The guy at 5 o'clock was redeemed, and he says, the last, those that came into the 5 o'clock hour, they come in first. Many are called to the five, but only few are chosen. Many are called to get there. Everyone's called to the 5 o'clock hour. That's the hour of inheritance. But only few are chosen to inherit. That's what he wanted to teach the rich man. I want to teach you how to inherit. You just inherit from the world. I'm going to teach you to inherit what's mine. Whoa, if he would have learned. Imagine what book he would have wrote. Imagine the things he could have taught us. Dynamics of kingdom finance. There's a few coming out now. This is what we're being trained for. We're being trained to step out into the 5 o'clock hour, to exert an hour's worth of labor, but reap a generation. I'm not talking about this wealth. You're talking about souls and everything else. It operates. It's the, if it be of works, it cannot be
of grace. But if it be of grace, it cannot be of works. What God is trying to do is unravel the old man, the old system, the old way, and move us into grace, grace, and more grace too. How about this? They that receive the abundance of grace and his free gift of righteousness will reign in this life. Same thing with righteousness. In the law, you're working, working, working to be perfect. Or I can go stand at the 5 o'clock hour in righteousness and say it's a free gift. I'm just going to learn how to receive it. See, the thing about righteousness, you have to learn how to receive it. It's already yours. He will give you an exchange for who you are, for who he is. You can wear his perfection. He gives it free. I give you the perfection of law. I won the battle. I freely give it to you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You know how many, every one of you positionally the righteousness, but who, he who appropriates it, she who appropriates it gets the blessing of it. In him we live and move and have our being, not in ourselves. We lay aside our garments and we take his on. That's the principle of this timeline I'm talking about. You can labor to your blue in the face to be perfect. How many of you have a shortcoming in your life? Raise your hand. Every hand should come up. Everybody's got shortcomings. How many of you struggle with your shortcomings? And it gets in the way of your relationship with God, because when you go to God, what are you seeing? You're not seeing who you are in him. You're seeing who you are in you. You're looking at waters of the flesh, sweat of the brow. Lord, I promise I'll change it this time. Then next week, I promise I'll change it this time. That's why I said labor, therefore, to enter into the rest. Stop trying. Start believing. What God is endeavoring us to do is shift from works and toil to grace and faith. Say grace and faith. Grace, rest, and faith. So let me show you something. Let's go back to this vineyard. He said something very interesting. And as I was meditating, let's go back to Matthew. Matthew 20. So, the principle he's dealing with here is the principle of works versus grace, toil versus rest. And so how to graduate? I want you to see something. Let's look at the guys that went out at 9 o'clock in the morning. Verse 3. And he went out about the third hour, 9 o'clock in the morning, and saw others standing idle. I actually looked that word up, thesaurus. And that word is very interesting. It's word argos. And the Thayer's Greek lexicon, listen to this. The Lord honed me straight to this. I love it. So I'm in the Greek Thayer's here. And it says, in their first definition, it says the word idle, free of labor. Say free of labor. So he comes out 6 o'clock in the morning. There is nobody free of labor. They're all fully in toil, right? But the 9 o'clock hour managed to be free of that system. Think of it like this, free of the system of toil and labor. He managed, so he graduated a little bit. How many of you ever seen yourself graduate a little bit? You don't strive as much. How many of the Lord ever dealt with you about striving? How many of you ever overstrove? Is there a word? Man, it's hard, because when you got a lot inside you, you want to go make your mark for God. You want to do it before your time. It's going to, most of the time in the beginning, come out from you. You're going to overstrive. You're going to get into striving. You're going to get in all manner of trouble. And then you're going to birth something that probably is not God. Then you got to manage something that wasn't God. And you're going to be in a lot of trouble for a long time. How many of you ever had that problem? It's called Ishmael. Birth an Ishmael, you get the result of the Ishmael. Ishmael's come out of impatience. The overstrover. Overstrover. We strive. We strove. We overstrove. We didn't let God get that part out of us. See, the problem is you're actually a multidimensional being. You're a citizen in the kingdom. You got a spirit that can access kingdom, heavenly, invisible things. You got a body that's here. You got a soul that'll swing both ways. man, it will worship God. Hallelujah. Your body will dance. And as soon as some kind of circumstance hits you out there, your soul will go, ah! But the other, that striving of the soul, the one that's the overstrover, I mean, this guy, he's got to go make his mark like the rich young ruler did. He's got to get out there and do it. But God doesn't want his kingdom originating from you, from that old part of you. He wants it originating from the new part of you. Which water is going to come out? Sweat of the brow or living waters? There's a war. You get caught in the middle of it often. And until you get to the 5 o'clock hour, you won't have total 100% peace. Mark the perfect man, behold the upright. The end of that man will be peace. He's going to teach you the way of rest. He'll teach you the way of grace. Grace cannot and will not contend with works. If you do it, he's not doing it. That's why he's got to wait till you give up. How many of you ever, God ever let you out on your leash? And you just ran out on a leash until he jerks the chain. Those calf ropers, man, he snaps that rope and that calf does a 360 backwards, man. God will give you a certain rope. If you walk out there like that calf, he's going to run out there, pow! If you go any further than that, you are in Barney Rubble trouble. You're already in trouble out there. It's going to be frustration. It's going to be lots of toil, heaviness, weariness. Mark, God puts markers in your life. There's markers called weariness, toil, labor, frustration, consistent frustration. You are not in his grace. His grace will have an atmosphere of peace. And when we walk with God, we learn how to stand and be processed. Some of it requires processing to graduate. Some of it requires learning of his ways. But ultimately, what God wants to do, because he said it, he said, the last shall come in first with me. In other words, the 5 o'clock hour, those people are first with me. Many are called to it. Few are chosen. You have to be chosen for that hour. You make yourself chosen by the way you respond to the process, training, and equipping of God. That's why when he asked the rich young ruler, if he goes, what do I lack? He said, you want to be perfect? Let me get you down the timeline. Right now, you're stuck at 6 o'clock in the morning. Everything you got that from 6 o'clock. You are a 6 o'clock in the morning guy. I am not talking about people who like to get up early and have coffee and get to, I'm talking about systems here. It's a world system way. Unfortunately, because we don't have a lot of kingdom people, we don't have a lot of people to balance that system. Usually it's those people who get the job done right now. But God wants some 5 o'clock hour people. And to get there, you got to graduate. Lord, graduate me. Everyone say, Lord, graduate me. You're going to have to learn. Here's some things you'll learn. Rest, grace, faith, and more faith. And more faith too. You'll learn to do things by faith. You'll learn to get the engine of faith running instead of the engine of self-sufficiency, human toil, human effort. All of that has to die progressively down the timeline. I want to get to the chosen. I want to be an inheritor. I want to go out at 5 o'clock. I want to freely inherit. Say freely inherit. By the time you get to be an inheritor, you'll realize you have nothing to do with it. He had everything to do with it. The only thing you have to do with it is appropriating a free inheritance by faith, because every part of you could have done it, died along the way. If I could tell you the Ishmaels, because there was a lot in me still trying to prove through performance that I can do this for you, God. Because I had a performance issue, because my identity was performance driven. Perfection, performance driven. And God had to put that guy down in the ground. And it wasn't easy. But we're still headed to 5 o'clock hour. Now I've learned to stand over there, learn how God's doing things, learn how he's going to get the job done, how to reap a generation of souls. If you want to reap a generation of souls, you're going to do a lot better in the 5 o'clock hour than running around in the 6 o'clock hour. Now, let me show you another one. This is awesome. You got to sow this, because in the beginning, there's so much that it needs to override. You're going to have to keep it because the stuff inside want to override. You got to get into the transformation part. But I remember like the fifth or sixth, all of a sudden the light bulb would come on. And go, whoa, that's what he meant by that. Wow. All right, let's look at this one. Matthew 20. I want to look at the 5 o'clock hour for God, man. Look at verse 6. I'm going to start closing. And about the 11th hour, or 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing free of labor. At 5 o'clock in the afternoon, he found others standing all the day free of toil and labor. They made it. And so I was asking, I said, Lord, I know it's the parable. I know what you're trying to say, but why would you say the next verse? And he said to them, why stand ye here all the day free of labor? And then the Holy Spirit whispered something to me, and I want to read it exactly the way he whispered it to me so you can see how he said it to me. I want to read it exactly the way he said it. I'm sitting there meditating, and I'm like, I know, but, you know, it's almost like you're rebuking the guys for standing there. But he said like this. This is how the Holy Spirit whispered this to me. How is it that you manage to stand here all the day long free of toil and labor? How is it that you manage? They were there all the day long. How come they weren't chosen at 9? How come they weren't chosen at noon? How come they weren't chosen at 3? They were there the whole day because they had a capacity that they were overriding that old nature. They were overriding that system, and God saw they could go to another level. So the ones who didn't were ready, let's let them out. Let them out. Let them out. But how is it that you were able to stand all the day long free of that system? I choose you. I choose you for the most remarkable hour of all human history. I choose you for the final hour of the church. I choose you for an hour to reap what no other generation has ever reaped. I choose you to do it, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. I choose you because you allowed me to process you. I choose you because I saw every time you surrendered. I choose you because you learned the way of faith. I choose you because you learned the way of grace. I choose you because you learned the way of my face. You learned my ways. I choose you. Though you didn't go out to labor, even though it really, we're not laboring his vineyard yet. I'm just telling you right now. There's a lot of people laboring in the vineyard. But we need a combine tractor. We need about 10 of them. We need some serious power to back our labor. We need a global awakening of the seven spirits of God. We need something that's freely given, already done. We can appropriate here and bring that realm into the earth and show the world the kingdom of God manifested before man. I believe the 5 o'clock hour is the manifested sons and daughters of God. The ones who operate in fullness. The ones that will operate without measure before the Lord's return. The ones that will demonstrate his resurrection power. The ones who will bring the crown forth in this hour. I believe it's a generation, an hour. Just like he marked the Antichrist for 1 hour, he'll reign over my people for 1 hour. We're going to reign too. There's an hour we're going to reign. Our toil, our labor will not be human sufficiency. Even like the Lord told him in the garden, can you not pray with me 1 hour? Do you know most of what he's trained us to do? Go up the mountain, down the mountain, receive and decree. It's an hour which he employs your faith. He employs your wisdom. He employs your mouth to work for him. It's not your sufficiency. It's the kingdom of God coming out. Not by might, not by power, but by his spirit. An hour that we can come in and reap for God. A generation of souls, generational wealth with power and glory. That's what I believe God's training for. We're all different parts of the plumb line. We're all different parts of the timeline. We're all being trained. There is some revelation that can get you to the 5 o'clock hour. It's what he's training us for. He's training a generation to be chosen to reap the final harvest for him. It's not going to be reaped man's way. It's not going to be done man's way. It's going to be done God's way. God is going to be a whole lot of God and a little bit of man. Say whole lot of God, little bit of man. The 11 o'clock hour by percentage is 8% of 12 hours, something like that. 92% owned by God. I think the further we get to the 6 o'clock hour, we're going to get into the 100-fold. Isn't that amazing? 30, 60, 100-fold. Good, acceptable, perfect. Now the timeline, 3, 6, 9, 11. We want to be found in the 11 hour, the 5 o'clock hour. I asked you before, how many want to be in the 5 o'clock hour? It's a training. He'll choose you. But then he's going to really set you out in the vineyard. He's going to take this church. He's going to transform this thing into an apostolic center. And he's going to bear the fruit of what we're carrying. He's going to do it. We're not, but we're learning how he does it. You're only in phase one if you've broken enough to say, I can't do it. That's only phase one. If you live in I can't do it and you don't learn how to do it with him, you'll live broken all your life. He didn't break you to break you. He broke you to bring you to a new way. He broke you. Now, if you don't embrace the next level of training, you're just going to walk around broken. And I've seen people get broken and they're a mess because when they get broken, they lay their sword down. If you lay your sword down, guess what? You got an enemy that will not lay his attacks against you down. Lay your sword down and he will put and open up a can on you. You can define that can how you want, but if you don't lay your sword down, you got to keep it going. The one thing we do is the one thing he asks us to do. Keep my word. Follow me to the end. Stay with me. Don't let go. Keep it in your mouth, the front lunch of your eyes. Make every part of your life following that word until it's fulfilled. The word of life, the word of resurrection, the word of crown. Those are the words we carry. Let's give God glory.